نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. الله سبحانه وتعالى mention one of his greatest favors that he has conferred upon us, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, says لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conferred a favor upon the believers, upon the mu'mineen. And what is that favor? إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. When he sent amongst them a Rasul from amongst themselves. This is one of the greatest favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He sent for us, the believers, His final messenger, the leader of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conferred favor upon the mu'mineen, upon the believers, إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ, when He sent amongst them a Rasul from amongst themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a Rasul who was not a stranger. He was from amongst them. For the Arabs, he was an Arab. For the Quraishis, he was a Quraishi. For the Banu Hashim, he was a Hashimi. And for the humans, he was a human. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent a stranger, it would have been difficult to benefit from him. There is always a barrier between two strangers. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent an angel, there would have been an even more greater barrier. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conferred His favor upon the mu'mineen by sending a messenger who was from amongst them, who was a human, who was an Arab, who was a Qurayshi, who was a Hashimi. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the responsibilities of this Nabi. يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. From amongst his responsibilities, one responsibility is that he recites the ayat of the Quran in front of them. Second responsibility, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, and he purifies them. He purifies their hearts. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, and he teaches them Kitabullah and Sunnati Rasul. So these are the three responsibilities of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And if these are three responsibilities of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we can deduce that every Nabi was sent into this world with these three responsibilities. Because every Nabi came into this world for the same purpose. So the responsibility or responsibilities of the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam were three. Yatlu alayhim ayatihi, that they recite to the people, they convey to the public, they convey to the masses the words of the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alif lam mim dhalikal kitabu la rayba fih hudan lil muttaqin. Convey the words. Yatlu alayhim ayatihi. Second responsibility, wa yuzakkihim. They carry out tazkiyah of the hearts of the ummah. They purify the hearts. And third responsibility, they teach them Kitabullah. After reading the words in front of them, he also explains the Kitabullah. He also explains the tafsir of these verses that he has recited. Well, Hikmah, and also he teaches them the Sunnah, which is the first tafsir of the Quran. So these are the three responsibilities of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. These are the three responsibilities that were laid down upon the shoulders of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as a Rasul for the whole of humanity. Hud alayhi salatu wassalam was sent for his people only. Salih alayhi salatu wassalam was sent for his people only. Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam was sent for his people only. Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam were being sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a specific period and for specific nations. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا وَإِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا وَإِلَىٰ مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam as a universal messenger. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. Say, O my messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O people, I have been sent as a messenger for all of you. He was sent as a messenger for the humankind and the jinn kind. He was sent as a messenger for humans and jinns. And his deen was not revealed for a specific period of time. His deen will reign until the day of Qiyamah. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. This day I have perfected your deen for you. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, and I have completed my favor upon you. Wa raditu lakum al-islam deena, and I have chosen Islam as a religion for you. And this religion, Islam, will reign until the day of Qiyamah now. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ana khatamun nabiyyina la nabiyya ba'di. I am the final prophet. I am the final Nabi. I am the seal of the Anbiya. La nabiyya ba'di. There is no Nabi after me. So our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's responsibilities were three. One was to teach the words of the Quran. Words of the Quran. Second was to teach the meaning of this message. Teach the commentary of this message through Quran and through Ahadith. Sometimes a verse of the Quran is explained by another verse of the Quran. Sometimes a verse of the Quran is explained by Hadith. And sometimes a hadith is explained by another hadith. So this was the second responsibility. One was to recite the text of the Quran, and second responsibility was to explain the meaning of this text. And third responsibility was tazkiyah. Tazkiyah. Purification of the souls. Purification of the hearts of the believers. This was his third responsibility. And the ulama are the inheritors of the anbiya. Innal ulama warathatul anbiya. The ulama are the inheritors of the anbiya. And if the ulama are the inheritors of the anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam, then they have also inherited these three responsibilities. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very comprehensive. So he was able to carry out all three responsibilities without any deficiency. But we are not Nabis, or we are not the best Nabi. We are ordinary people. In comparison to the Anbiya alayhi wassalatu wassalam, even the ulama are ordinary people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid down this responsibility upon the ulama as a group. So we find in the makatib, the ulama, the huffaz, teaching the words of the Quran. Alif, ba, ta, tha, aba, ab. And then slowly, slowly, slowly taking the student up to the recitation of the Quran. Recitation of the Quran. And in the Darul Ulooms, we find another group of ulama who are engaged in teaching the meanings of the Quran. And in the Zawiyahs and in the Khanqahs, in the centers of Tazkiyah and centers of Ihsan, we find the ulama who are given the title of Mashayikh engaged in the work of Tazkiyah. The ulama are the inheritors of the Anbiya alayhi wassalatu wassalam. And alhamdulillah, till today, for the past 1400 years approximately, they have been carrying out the responsibility of the Anbiya alayhi wassalatu wassalam. And inshallah, they will continue to do so until the day of Qiyamah. Tazkiyah. Tazkiyah of the heart. Purifying the soul. Because without the purification of the heart, purification of the soul from the filth of debasing qualities, a person cannot enter Jannah. If a person's heart is filthy, a person's heart is filthy with kufr, a person's heart is filthy with shirk, a person's heart is filthy with nifaq, disbelief, idolatry, polytheism, hypocrisy, then a person will not be able to enter Jannah forever. For eternity he will have to remain in the fire of Jahannam. And people with other debasing qualities, such as kibr, pride and arrogance, bukhl, miserliness, stinginess, such people will not be able to enter Jannah until they are purified. It is for this reason we find in certain ahadith that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says that there are certain categories of people. There are certain categories of people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not purify. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not purify them by merely forgiving them. Allah will not purify them through fadl. Allah will punish them and purify them. On the day of Qiyamah, when people will be resurrected and they will be made to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if they are sinful people, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with them either with fadl or either with adl. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with them with fadl, grace, that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them their sins their misdeeds, their misconduct, and Allah will grant them entry into Jannah without punishing them, without them having to go in the fire of Jahannam. Despite their being worthy of this punishment of Jahannam, Allah will shower His fadl and mercy upon them, His grace upon them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, I have forgiven you, go in Jannah. And with some people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with adl. Adl means justice. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that you have done this, this, this. In order to go in Jannah, first you will have to be purified through punishment. And they will be thrown in the fire of Jahannam. And through this punishment, they will be purified and they will be entered into Jannah. Through the barakah of iman, they will eventually go in Jannah. But the filth of the heart will need to be cleansed. So there are two ways of purifying a person on the day of Qiyamah. One is through fadl. Without being purified, a person cannot go in Jannah. So through fadl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His grace, out of His mercy, will purify the heart. And without him having to go in the fire of Jahannam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him entry into Jannah. And the second method of purifying them will be throwing them in the fire of Jahannam. And as a result of the punishment, they will be purified. It is like throwing the gold or silver in the furnace to be purified. So those people who will be doomed in the fire of Jahannam forever and ever, they will be thrown in the fire of Jahannam to be punished. And those people with iman, but with debasing qualities, they will be thrown in the fire of Jahannam not to be punished but to be purified. They will taste the taste of punishment. They will be tormented. But there is difference between the two. One group will be thrown in the fire of Jahannam for punishment and the other for purification. So we find in the hadith that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that there are certain people who will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not purify them. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not purify them through His grace and mercy. Allah will purify them only through punishment. So if the heart is filthy with debasing qualities, this heart cannot go in Jannah. This person cannot go in Jannah. Kufr, shirk, nifaq. Nifaq fil aqeedah. Hypocrisy in aqeedah. Outwardly he is a believer, but he doesn't believe from the heart. These people will remain in the fire of Jahannam forever and ever. And those people with other debasing qualities, they have iman. There is no polytheism. There is no disbelief. There is no hypocrisy. Alhamdulillah, iman is there. But there are other debasing qualities of the heart, like pride, arrogance, haughtiness, miserliness, excessive love for wealth. Excessive love for wealth. If there is excessive love for wealth is natural for humans. But excessive love for wealth which exceeds the limits set by the Sharia, this is debasing quality. Why? Because if love for wealth exceeds the limit, then a person will not be able to discharge the duty of zakah. He will not be able to discharge the duty of hajj. He will not be able to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will not be able to carry out the monetary injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a debasing quality. Such people will not be able to go in Jannah until they are not purified. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالُ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ كِبْرٍ. A person will not be able to enter Jannah until there remains in his heart an atom's weight of kibr. Why? Because whether it is atom's weight or whether it is a kilo or it is a ton. Kibra is kibra, it is filthy. Blood is filthy, whether it is 1 kilo or it is 1 drop. So a person with an atom's weight of kibra, Allahu Akbar, an atom's weight of kibra, very, very insignificant weight, atom's weight of kibra, will not be able to enter Jannah because a filthy heart cannot go in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will purify this heart with grace, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will purify this heart through punishment, and then only he will be able to enter Jannah. So, tazkiyah, purification of the soul, purification of the heart, purifying the ruh is compulsory. Purifying the soul is compulsory. It is for this reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. That person indeed has acquired falah. And falah is the success of this world and the success of the hereafter. That person indeed has acquired the success of both worlds from every aspect. مَنْ تَزَكَّى, who has become purified, who has acquired tazkiyah, or man zakka, who has purified his soul. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَأْتِهِ مُؤْمِنًا قَدْ عَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ. The person who comes on the day of Qiyamah with iman and amal saliha, good deeds. وَمَنْ يَأْتِهِ مُؤْمِنًا قَدْ عَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الدَّرَجَاتُ الْعُلَىٰ. For them are very high stages in Jannah. Jannatu adnin tajri min tahtiha al-anharu khalidina fiha. For them are gardens of paradise under which rivers will flow. They will remain in it forever and ever. For whom is this? For whom is this? For those people who accept iman and who do good deeds. But who will be able to accept iman and do good deeds? وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Those people whose souls are purified. So tazkiyah is compulsory. And because tazkiyah is compulsory, one of the main responsibilities of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam is tazkiyah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to understand the importance of tazkiyah. Without tazkiyah, my friends, without the purification of the soul, without removing the debasing qualities that lie within our hearts, we will not be able to enter Jannah. And without removing the debasing qualities from our hearts, we will not be able to follow the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we have accepted iman, alhamdulillah, as a result of iman, we have been able to remove kufr, shirk and nifaq. Alhamdulillah. So for eternity, we will not burn in the fire of Jahannam. But if there are other debasing qualities, we will not be able to follow the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, as mentioned earlier, miserliness, stinginess, excessive love for world. These are two debasing qualities. Let's take miserliness, bukhl. If a person is miser, if a person is stingy, he will not be able to follow the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will not give zakah. He will not spend on the poor. He will be stingy when spending on his family. Despite having wealth, he will not spend. Even if spending becomes obligatory on parents, he will not be able to support his parents, despite having wealth. So it is necessary for each and every one of us to purify our souls from all debasing qualities. And in order to do that, we need to associate ourselves with the inheritors of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. A Nabi is sent into this world to guide mankind towards those things which will take him to the pleasure of the Creator and which will take him in Jannah. That is the responsibility of the Anbiya. The Anbiya do not come into this world for any other reason. They only come in this world to guide mankind towards those things which will lead them towards the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ultimately Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order for them to become successful in this task of theirs, has appointed three responsibilities. Recitation of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, explaining the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and tazkiyah. That means in order for one to become successful in the hereafter, in order for one to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and become deserving of Jannah, one will have to learn the words of the Quran, one will have to understand the message of the Quran, and one will have to purify his soul. If these three things were not necessary to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have laid this responsibility on the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. If there was something else in order to acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have laid that responsibility upon the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Alhamdulillah, majority of us are able to read the Quran. Alhamdulillah, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the ability to read the Quran. You will find Muslims in thousands who are unable to read the Quran. Because we live in an environment where every Muslim is able to read the Quran. Do not think that the whole Muslim world reads the Quran, is able to read the Quran. So being able to read the Quran, I'm not saying reading the Quran, being able to read the Quran is a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of Qiyamah, those who were unable to read will be questioned, why did you not learn how to read the Quran? They will be guilty in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But maybe, those people who were able to read the Quran but were not reading the Quran will be questioned even more harshly. There is a possibility that I bestowed this favor upon you. I made it possible for you to read the Quran despite that you are not reading the Quran. My words, my book, my message. So alhamdulillah, we are able to read the Quran. Yes, there are some who are unable to read the Quran with tajweed, but we are all able to read the Quran. My brothers, my sisters listening at home, please, from today, make a point of reciting the Quran daily. Reciting the Quran will help enormously in acquiring tazkiyah. In order for one to acquire tazkiyah, four things are required. Four things. Number one, abstaining from disobediences to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, abstaining from layani, anything that neither benefits in this world nor the hereafter. Number three, the company of the pious, especially one's sheikh. And number four, excessive dhikr. Those who are seeking purification of the soul, hold fast to these four things. Try your utmost to abstain from every disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be it major or minor. And if overcome by nafs or shaitan, we make a mistake, let us repent immediately. Even if we have to repent every minute. Even if you have to repent every minute. This repentance will increase the stamina of our hearts in resisting sins. So what will happen is that a person is committing sin every 5 minutes. And every 5 minutes he is committing a sin, and he is repenting sincerely. Committing a sin, repenting sincerely. Committing a sin, repenting sincerely. What does Shaitan whisper in our minds? What's the point? You've been doing this for the past 1 week. So what's the point of repenting when after 5 minutes you are going to sin again? This is whisper from Shaitan. Because Shaitan knows that if this person continues to repent, this repentance will increase the stamina to resist disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Continue. Continue repenting. As long as you are remorseful, as long as you are regretful for what you have done 5 minutes ago, or what you have done in the last second, and as long as you stop, and as long as you make a firm resolution not to do it again, continue. If you sin after 5 minutes, again repent. If you sin after 5 minutes, again repent. Don't let this thought overcome you that you are a failure. Even if you fail 100 times, 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times, 1,000,000,000 times, continue tawbah until you breathe your last. Why? Because we are the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every mu'min loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the sign that every mu'min loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Every mu'min's desire is to become the beloved of Allah. If we don't love someone, we don't want to become his beloved. Why do I want to become his beloved? Every mu'min desires to become the beloved of Allah. Some by doing something, some without doing anything. But everybody wants to become the beloved of Allah. And that is a sign that we have love for Allah. So we are the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and lover always desires to become the beloved of the one whom he loves. And if that is our goal, then if we fail once by committing a sin, by disobeying him, let us start again by repenting. And if we fail again, let us start again. And if we fail, let us start again. If we fail, let us start again until we breathe our last. At least we will be able to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, I tried. جو ناکام ہوتا رہے عمر بھر بھی بہرحال کوشش تو عاشق نہ چھوڑے جو ناکام ہوتا رہے عمر بھر بھی that person who continually throughout his life becomes a failure in his objective of becoming the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he continually repents and sins جو ناکام ہوتا رہے عمر بھر بھی that person who continually becomes a failure in his quest for becoming the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, baharhal koshish to aashik na chode, but he is the lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should continue toiling and striving. Ye rishta muhabbat ka qaim hi rakhe. He should keep this connection of love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He should continue this connection of love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If this love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala breaks 100 times through disobedience, then he should join it 100 times through tawbah. Jo nakam hota rahe umar bhar bhi baharhal koshish to aashik na chode, ye rishta muhabbat ka qaim hi rakhe, jo 100 baar toote to 100 baar jode. A person who disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repents, disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repents, or a person who repents and disobeys, repents and disobeys, repents and disobeys, repents and disobeys, he may not be the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when he repents, he becomes the beloved. Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin. But when he repents, he is no more a beloved. When he repents, he becomes the beloved again. When he sins, he is no more a beloved. When he repents, he becomes beloved again. When he sins, he remains no more a beloved. Whether he continuously remains a beloved or not, if he continues in his quest to become the beloved of Allah, he is at least the lover of Allah. He is the ashik of Allah. Ye rishta muhabbat ka qaim hi rakhe. Jo 100 baar toote to 100 baar jode. بہرحال کوشش تو عاشق نہ چھوڑے عاشق A person, when he falls in love with somebody, and if he is a true ashik, then despite continuous ignoring from the other side, he will continue toiling. But the day he says, enough is enough, I'm tired now. Enough. That means now he is not a lover. He is not a ashik. Let us remain the ashik of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our goal should be abstinence from every disobedience, minor or major. And if we make a mistake, then we turn to Allah and we ask for forgiveness. So we abstain from disobedience to Allah. Number two, we abstain from every layani. Any activity that neither brings benefit in this world nor the hereafter. Gossiping. A person knows that the material I am reading is not of benefit. Sometimes we read a newspaper and we flip through the newspaper and we see important articles, 2-3 articles. We read through those 3 articles and we put the newspaper away. Why? Because there is nothing of substance in the other articles. But then we are sitting there on our chair or in our sofa and we feel that, how can I pass my time? There is nothing to read in this newspaper, but there is nothing else to do. So we pick up the newspaper again and we just read the articles to pass time. This is layani. Because we already know that reading the other articles is of no benefit. Talking about politics for hours without any substance. Talking about nonsensical things, joking, playing here and there. Anything that neither brings benefit in this world nor the hereafter is layani. And in order to purify the heart from debasing qualities, abstinence from layani is necessary. Number three, pious company. Pious company. There are 3 stages of pious company. One is pious company. Always associate with pious people. If you have to associate with those people who are not pious, out of necessity, no problem. But without necessity, we should always associate with pious people. And if we have to associate with people who are not pious out of necessity, then we must make up for it. If we have to associate with somebody who is not pious out of necessity, then on that day we must make sure that we spend at least 30 minutes, 1 hour, 15 minutes with somebody who is pious. Pious people. From amongst the masses, the pious people. Alhamdulillah, this brother seems pious, looks pious. Alhamdulillah, he performs salat. I see him reciting the Quran. This is the first stage, pious Muslims. Second stage, pious mashayikh. Whether you are spiritually associated to that sheikh or not. Pious mashayikh. Our sheikh is our spiritual father. And other pious mashayikh from the mashayikh-e-hakka are our spiritual uncles. So when we are unable to benefit from our father, we benefit from our uncle. From the mashayikh. And number three, our own sheikh. We will derive the most benefit from our sheikh. Thereafter the mashayikh and thereafter the salih muslimin. So abstaining from wrong company, staying in good company, abstaining from wrong environment, staying in good environment. A person stays in good environment but in bad company. Dangerous, detrimental. A person stays in good company but bad environment. All of them will be affected by bad environment. And number four, excessive zikr. Excessive dhikr. Excessive dhikr. My late Sheikh Rahimahullahu Ta'ala used to say that engage in dhikr so much, so much, so much that dhikr overpowers, the condition of dhikr overpowers all the conditions of the heart. We should engage in zikr so much that our hearts become zakir. In our heart and mind there is nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi ma tala'at shamsun wala gharabat illa wa anta fi qalbi wa waswasi. Wallahi ma tala'at shamsun wala gharabat. By Allah, the sun does not rise and the sun does not set. That means from the time the sun rises, from the time the sun sets, and from the time the sun sets until the sun rises, there is nothing in my heart or in my thought but you. Wallahi ma tala'at shamsun wala gharabat illa wa anta fi qalbi wa waswasi. You are in my heart and you are in my thoughts. وَلَا جَلَسْتُ إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ أُحَدِّسُهُمْ. By Allah, whenever I sit with people and with friends to talk, إِلَّا وَأَنْتَ حَدِيثِ بَيْنَ جُلَّاسِ, my only topic of conversation is you. I always talk about you because I am deeply in love with you. I have seen people who are deeply in love with their shuyukh. I have seen people who are deeply in love with their teachers. I have seen people who are deeply in love with their friends, with their parents. And they will find any excuse to talk about their friends, talk about their shuyukh, talk about their families. It is natural. If our heart is enlightened with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will always talk about Allah. Why? Because Allah is in our thoughts and minds. So my Shaykh Rahimahullah Ta'ala used to say that engage in zikr so much that the condition of the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overpowers the every condition of the heart. The zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overpowers the condition of kibr, pride. The zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overpowers the condition of bukhl, stinginess. The condition of zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overpowers bughz, hatred. This is the easy method to purify the heart. Kasrat zikr, excessive zikr. It is for this reason, having mercy on his servants, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira. O you who believe, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excessively. Because Allah knew that if my servants remember me excessively, their hearts will be purified. And in order to make our hearts zakir and to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excessively, we will only be able to remember Allah excessively if the dhikr of Allah is embedded into our hearts. We need to learn dhikr from our mashayikh. We need to take the first lesson, thereafter the second lesson, thereafter the third lesson, progress. And we will only be able to do that if we carry out the first lesson and then refer to our shaykh after 2 months, 4 months and say that Alhamdulillah, 99%, 98% I have been carrying out the dhikr for the last 4 months, then the shaykh will give the next lesson. And then the next lesson, and then the next lesson, until we will experience the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. So I was saying, my friends, that these are the 4 things a person has to do in order to carry out tazkiyah. Huh? Out of the 4 things, one is excessive zikr. And it is the unanimous opinion of all the ulama that the best zikr, best form of zikr is the Quran. If the best form of zikr is the Quran, then if we recite the Quran, it will go a long way in securing tazkiyah of our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. So, yatlu alihim ayatihi, alhamdulillah, accomplished. We can recite the Quran. If we are not so good in tajweed, let us find a teacher once a week and learn tajweed. But simultaneously, let us recite the Quran daily. At least one juz. The huffaz, 3 juz. Non-huffaz, at least one juz. If we cannot recite 3 juz or 1 juz, let us begin with 1 juz and quarter juz. But daily. Maybe on Saturday, Sunday more, when we are free. During holidays more. Daily Yasin Sharif in the morning. Daily Suratul Mulk, Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda, Suratul Waqiyah. Anytime after Maghrib until going to sleep. On Friday, Suratul Kahf. And daily 1 juz or 3 quarter juz or half a juz or quarter juz. If we are already reciting 1 juz, then we remain on 1 juz. Three quarter or half or quarter juz is for those people who are unable to recite a whole juz. Two juz or one juz or half a juz is for those huffaz who are unable to recite three juz. Those who are already reciting three juz. Some people recite a manzil daily, mashallah, even in this country, with work, huffaz. And they complete the whole Quran in 1 week. Alhamdulillah, continue. And the ulama, they should recite the Quran with tadabbur. With tadabbur, with concentration. Concentration in such a way that they are able to understand the Quran when reciting. And if due to weakness, we are unable to recite the whole three juz with tadabbur, then recite quarter juz with tadabbur. Or one ruku with tadabbur. So one ruku with tadabbur and the rest of the tilawa without tadabbur. Or easy parts with tadabbur, difficult parts without tadabbur. Begin somewhere. Because Maulana Abdullah Behlavi Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that reciting the Quran with tadabbur is a means, is a means of acquiring the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yatlu alayhim ayatihi is there. Number two, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. There are many of us who are engaged in learning and teaching in madaris, many who have already acquired ilm, ulama and muftis sitting in this gathering, and there are students who are learning, but learning and teaching should continue until we breathe our last. It is a great honor to remain a student of deen until the last moment. As far as the non-ulama are concerned, how do we understand the Quran? How do we understand the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In order to do that, we must sit in the company of the inheritors of the Anbiya. So we know how to read the Quran. Now to understand the message of the Quran, let us sit in the company of the ulama. In durus of Quran, in durus of hadith, and in lectures. Because when an alim is lecturing, even in his lectures, whatever he says is based on the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is talim-e kitab wa hikmah. And third thing we need to do is to purify our souls. And in order to purify our souls, we need to associate ourselves to a sheikh from the mashayikh-e haqqa. Mashayikh-e haqqa means the one whose aqidah is sound, one whose ideology is sound, one who is treading the path of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and in whose life we find obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to associate ourselves with a sheikh from the mashayikh-e haqqa, take guidance from him, follow guidance, and keep in contact with him through emails, through text messages, through letters, through personal meetings, and seek guidance. And after seeking guidance, follow the guidance. And continually turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say to Allah that, oh Allah, help me in my quest. Increase me in my ilm, increase me in my amal, and grant me soul purification. Purify my heart from all the debasing qualities so that I may acquire entry into Jannah without having to go in the fire of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa al-aqibatu lil-muttaqeen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi sayyidina ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وجعل آخرة خيرا من الأولى. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان وجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك. اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم اجعل وساوس قلوبنا خشيتك وذكرك واجعل همتنا وهوانا فيما تحب وترضى. اللهم إنا نسألك من فضلك العظيم. اللهم افتح لنا أبواب رحمتك. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم.